Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Morning Show. The home team. No, it's both. It's the crossover.
Crossover. Step back.
Right here on 960theref.com.
All right, this is episode number 177 of the crossover. David Johnston from The Morning Show and Jeff Dantzler from the home team. Thanks so much for joining us here. That's why we call ourselves the Crossover Podcast. And if you have the old trusty iPhone, you can find us in the App Store. If you have the old trusty Android, you can find us on Google Play. And lots of stuff to get to today, including a big congratulations to Georgia women's basketball coach Joni Taylor, who has been named the SEC's Coach of the Year for 2021. Now, there's about 30 seconds remaining in the Kentucky-Florida game. So we're recording this podcast on Thursday afternoon. It looks like Kentucky's going to survive and move on. And I feel safe, Jeff, that we can talk about Georgia playing Kentucky tomorrow. But again, a big congratulations to Joni Taylor.
If we have to pivot, we'll pivot.
That's right.
Yeah, great job by Joni and the Lady Dogs this year, going 18-5 and got one of those double byes with a 10-5 conference record into the quarterfinals of the SEC tournament that will begin on Friday. So another busy weekend for us, all kinds of basketball and baseball action, track and field, tennis, golf, swimming nationals are coming up. It's a very exciting time of the year. I wanted to throw out as well, news just came down that Georgia's All-American pentathlete, Anna Hall, who won the SEC championship of the pentathlete, was named the Southeast Regional Field Athlete of the Year.
And right on.
She's just fantastic. And so that's great to see. We love it when those honors come in. And this is a great time of year, isn't it, here in early March? And I can't wait as we speak on Thursday. You might be listening to this on Monday and see these bozos, that baseball series of North Florida.
Talking about.
It's already over. The SEC women's tournament's over. But as we record, can't wait to get out to Foley Field this weekend. In fact, also as we record, it's like 71 degrees.
Beautiful.
It's awesome.
Day.
The sun is going to be out all weekend. So really looking forward to a great weekend.
And Jeff, it is now officially a final. Kentucky has beaten Florida 73-64. So the Georgia women will play their quarterfinal game on Friday afternoon right around 1:30 as they take on Kentucky and a chance for a little bit of revenge here.
Yeah, Kentucky's one of those teams. They've just got Georgia's number. They've won 7 of the last 8. And basketball's so much about matchups. Kentucky has the SEC's Player of the Year in Ryan Howard. She is really, really great. If you're not familiar with women's basketball as much as you are with the men's game, she's 6'2", so that would be in the men's game the equivalent. She'd be about a 6'7" wing player who can do it all. She leads a team in scoring, rebounding, steals, and assist. And she's got some good pieces around her, but Ryan had 27 here in Athens last week, and Kentucky beat Georgia by 4 points. So she's that great player, and Kentucky certainly feeds off of her. So, yeah, she would be that traditional wing player, kind of going back to the Dr. J, Clyde Drexler, on into to Michael Jordan type player who does it all. But it's been a great, great year for Georgia. And, you know, one thing I would like to mention with the regular season finale win over Florida, Georgia's seniors went out with a perfect record against the Gators, swept Florida 4 years in a row, so 8-0. And this team, just the way the schedule worked out, on the men's side, there are 5 teams you play twice. On the women's side, it's 3. Georgia plays Florida twice every year, and this year also played Auburn and Tennessee. So, of course, classic rivals there. And Tennessee's the biggest rival for the women's basketball program. But Georgia this year against Tech, Florida, Auburn, and Tennessee went 7-0, and that's a type of thing, DJ, you know, for guys like us, lifelong Bulldog fans, that's a type of thing, like, for those kids, you take that with you for the rest of your life.
Sure.
You know, you were to, like, you know,
can never be taken away.
No, so, like, you know, Jenna Stady and Maya Caldwell could be at a Georgia-Florida game in 20 years. Oh, yeah, we never lost to Florida. Yep. I mean, that's a cool thing.
What's it been like for you this year calling the games from the stadium and not being at the women's tournament? I know that's got to be strange.
It has been. I've missed being there, with the exception of when it was 1 degree for the high in Como.
Yes.
I wasn't missing that too much. I think it's just one of those things you get used to. We have a wonderful producer who's worked with us a good bit, in Luke Nadkarny. He pushes in some natural sound, so it doesn't really sound like you're in a broom closet, but it's basically Dave doing what we were doing when we were kids, running around our parents' house, like watching Monday night football or Saturday afternoon baseball. I just feel like I'm announcing a game, watching it on TV, because that's what we're doing. But
it's weird. Football got to travel. Mm-hmm. Basketball didn't. Baseball is traveling, and hopefully that means we're one step closer to getting things back to normal.
I think so too, my friend. And I've definitely missed not being on the road, miss being around the team and the staff, our buddy Trey Littlefield with the sports information. I've said the other thing too, Dave, that we enjoy, even though a lot of these schools were bitter rivals, and so much of that goes back to football. But baseball, basketball, it's certainly, you want to win, but it's more laid back, because most games aren't life and death. Like they are in football. But, you know, part of what we love so much going on the road with the baseball team, we love seeing our friends at the various schools.
Sure.
And the broadcasters and the sports information directors and the different coaches. So I think we've all missed that this season, and that's why I'm so happy that, you know, we're able to do that with baseball. We've just had two midweek games on the road thus far as we tape, but when SEC play gets cranked up, we'll be bouncing back and traveling all over the Southeast, even into Texas, Arkansas, and Missouri. So it's great, and I'm delighted that we're able to get back out on the road this year.
Well, we made the trek over to Kennesaw last night, and we did make it back safely. Unfortunately, didn't get the result we wanted. Kennesaw ended up winning 6-4. Of course, every game has weird things that go on in it, and there were a couple of weird ones last night.
There was a situation, and you and I could kind of feel it, because between the two of us, we've now officially seen 7 million games. We hit that number last night.
It's our millionth game.
And especially in baseball, you just get the feel. So we get a 2-run homer in the second inning, and Kennesaw comes back with a 3-run homer. Then we get the leadoff man on in the third. We got runners at second and third runners at first and third with nobody out, down a run, and wind up not scoring. Their catcher made a great play, blocking a pitch in the dirt, and our runner from first made the right call, just got thrown out by an inch at second base. Then we get a free pass and wind up, we foul one off into deep right that is kind of a good news, bad news. Good news that it wasn't caught if you're thinking big inning, but if it was caught, you probably tag and score. Anyway, we wind up hitting into a double play and don't score, and it's a type of thing. Now, you and I said it on the air, and definitely between innings, that we've seen enough. It's like, when stuff like that happens, you just kind of feel like it's not going to be your day. We ran into another out. We hit into three double plays, and then did take the lead at 4-3, made a base running mistake, which prevented the lead potentially from getting even bigger. And then Kennesaw came back with a big inning. They scored 3 runs in the eighth inning and did a lot of the damage with 2 outs there. So you tip your cap to them, but you just felt like it was one of those games where we were leaving some runs on the table.
And it was an interesting game in the sense that there was only 4. Georgia scored 2 runs in 2 different innings. Kennesaw scored 3 runs in 2 different innings. So I can tell you this, when your team scores 2 runs in 2 different innings and the other team scores 3 runs in 2 different innings, you're not going to win.
Well, if my team comes down and if I hit 2 layups and your team comes down and you hit 2 3-pointers, that's essentially what happened.
Yeah.
You can definitely do the math on that. But I just gave up a few too many free bases.
You're right. Georgia probably just doesn't have enough firepower, especially with Cole Tate not being in lineup, Parks Harbor not being in the lineup right now. to give away outs.
And sports, I think so much of it is you can break it down to margin for error. And great teams have margin for error. And that usually means nine times out of ten that they're explosive when it comes to scoring, whether that means you can get a touchdown real quick and then you can get that turnover and get another. Or in baseball, you can hit that three-run homer. In basketball, boy, you can get that three and get that steal and that layup and then hit another three, and you can score in bunches. Most great teams are explosive. Well, if you do have a team that's not explosive, and hey, let's face it, most teams aren't, you can obviously still win, but you just don't have that margin for error because it makes it much tougher to overcome those mistakes. And, you know, when you think about some of the great baseball teams we've had over the last 20 years, that margin for error was, we had great players who could hit home runs. We had pitchers who could come back and get the big strikeouts. You know, we had dynamic defenders who could make the great catch or turn the double play. We got a lot of young, new faces on this team right now. So our margin for error right now is just not at a point to where if we make an error and give up four or five walks and, you know, have a pass ball and a wild pitch, run into a couple of outs. And I'm sure that's one thing. And DJ, I guess you talked with Coach Strickland this morning. We've made too many outs on the bases this year, which is uncharacteristic. And that really showed up at Kennesaw.
Well, their shortstop played great last night.
He had a great game.
Tyler Simon.
Great game.
Three different 6-4-3 double plays. Also, too, we did get the two-run homer from Blaylock, but they had four extra base hits. We had just the one.
Right.
That stuff also adds up as well. And, again, five walks. They actually walked six, but just too many. And Coach Kenny would tell you one's too many, but if you're in the five range, that's more than than certainly the coaches would like to see. And not putting everything on one single game, but we now have nine games that we've seen and can start to see little things that have to be taken care of or at least thought about, and certainly the lineup, the positions, the rotation, that kind of thing. For North Florida coming in, they are 3-6, but five of their games have been against Florida State and Florida.
Those are their first five games. It's like, hello, 2021.
Yeah, exactly.
We got the Noles
Welcome
and the
back.
Gators. So they've got a very good team, and they did just lose to Georgia Southern, who's got a good team. But so they were 1-4 coming out of the gate against Florida State and Florida.
Yeah, they won the first game.
That's right. So they're obviously very competitive. And, you know, we've seen it. Good gosh, you know, the teams in Georgia are really good. Kennesaw State, Mercer, obviously Georgia Southern's always good, but my goodness, you think about teams from Florida we've seen through the years, like Stetson and Florida Atlantic, and certainly you'd put North Florida right up there, you know, Central Florida, South Florida. There are just so many players in our neck of the woods here in the deep South, and you know, just looking at the numbers, North Florida's got three guys who are hitting at least 380 right now, and everybody seems to have a guy. I was looking there, they've got two relievers who have multiple appearances, who have spotless ERAs. So, yeah, the Dogs are going to have their hands full all weekend long. And, again, anytime you play a team from the South, and, you know, this even started, I came to this realization, TJ, when we eked out that football game against Nicholls State in 2016, that you play somebody from the South, they're going to have good players.
Yes, they are.
They might be 3 inches too short to make the cut, but – They're good players, and
they got the old chip on the shoulder.
Bingo.
Yeah. So you got two things going against you there.
Now, that
too,
doesn't
that
mean
you got to take care of business.
Could they, no matter the sport, could they do the grind of the SEC? No. But could they go out and beat an SEC team on a given day? Yes.
And baseball's funny
and
that
baseball,
way, too. You
baseball.
Can't break the season down on one game. Although I would like to say one other thing before we move on. In the first inning, Charlie Goldstein something that Coach Strickland said this morning on our show that he's never seen before, live or in person, the immaculate inning with three strikeouts on nine pitches.
No, that was a neat thing.
And what did you say? That they picked up on it. Coach said when he threw, bumping into the tight quarters.
Tight quarters.
Below deck. He said after Charlie got the first strike on the third hitter, he was like, oh, hey, we got seven strikes. Then he said when the next pitch was a strike, he was thinking, oh, we got a chance here.
And
then
don't throw a waste pitch here.
Right, that's right. And so he ends up getting the immaculate inning, which just doesn't happen very often. In the majors this past season, there was only one in the 60 games. Now, in 2019,
what did you say? There were five or six. Okay.
We looked it up this morning and
that's
took
still
a
rarity.
Deeper dive, but it doesn't happen very often. It's like, well, let's see. It's more common than a no-hitter, obviously.
Sure.
More common than a triple play. More common than, I'm trying to think, what's something that you might see eight times in a season in baseball?
Well, you think about, for us, I've seen us hit into one triple play, and I've seen us turn one triple play, and that's in near 30 years.
How many times do you think someone hits for the cycle in a year? That doesn't happen.
Is Cone still the last guy to do it for
us?
Well,
I've seen on the major league level.
Yeah.
But for Georgia, you got to go back 11 years.
So, and I think what Josh Smith had done it before then, who was a great player for us. In the majors, I think that's a type of thing that happens, say, five, six times a year.
So this might be something similar to that.
But it's a rarity and it's a neat thing.
For sure.
When you see it. So, if you talk about hitting for the cycle, a triple play, you know, the no-hitter, you see a few of those in the big leagues each year. Now, the perfect game is still extraordinarily rare.
The perfect game and the, I guess, the triple play, those are about the same, the perfect game and the triple play?
Yeah, and then, I think part of it with the perfect game is that not only do you have to obviously pitch a phenomenal game and have good defense behind you, but you're around the plate a lot because you're not walking guys.
Right.
So if you're around the plate against a major league lineup, somebody's gonna shoot one through.
Those guys hitting are pretty good.
I don't
care if it's the worst team.
No, even if it's a slow roller, you figure somebody is gonna just get a base hit.
Right.
And so that's where, again, with a no-hitter, you can be wild and walk a couple of guys. There could be an error. You don't have the pressure. But for that perfect game, to be around the plate, you're not walking anybody, and anybody who's putting it in play, you're either hitting it right at them or you're not making solid contact. That's why it's so extremely rare.
Yeah. So I thought that was cool because I'd never seen that in person.
And the other thing we had, our man Riley King.
Yeah, I was going to mention that.
What a great kid. He has to leave the game in the eighth inning to go take a biochemistry exam that was proctored on Kennesaw State's campus at 8 o'clock.
So Randon Jernigan did end up getting in the game, but Riley King did not finish, and his spot was on deck.
Of course.
For the final out.
Yeah.
So it almost came into play.
No, it's amazing. You know, he's such a great kid. So Magdi Alshawi, who's one of Georgia's athletic administrators, he travels to a lot of the games, but he was on the trip, and he was kind of helping get this set up. And it was very kind of Kennesaw State to offer to do this. And this is another thing that, with that old internet, which I think is here to stay, these students can take tests really anytime, anywhere, because that would definitely be a thing. Like going back to when we were in school, when you took a test, it was during the class.
Yeah, that's
not
right.
At 8 o'clock on a Wednesday night.
I know. And Coach said when this was all scheduled, there was no conflict because the game was originally on Tuesday. His class is not at 8 o'clock on Wednesday nights, but that's when the test was.
I would have missed that class a lot.
I would not have been
good.
It's
Drake and Drown night.
That's right. That's right. It's Wet Wednesday. But he, dealt with it, and sometimes I guess you just got to do what you got to do.
Well, and Coach said as well that the professor said that for however many tests they have, let's say it was five, you had a test you could drop. And Coach Strickland backed Riley, and Riley said he was really ready, so he wanted to go ahead and take it. And he said, well, you could drop this. It's like, well, that's not fair. Plus, he's representing the university.
Yeah.
Those drop tests are meant to be one like, hey, I don't feel well today. I had in my two other classes, I had tests those days as well and just couldn't put as much time into it.
That you want to kind of focus for your test.
Uh-huh.
but he's out playing a baseball game. Maybe that's good. He's not thinking about
it. Yeah, you don't want to think too much about it.
Maybe it's the other
way, yeah. See, Mom, I'd have done better in school if you let me play baseball.
Right up to test time.
Right.
If all my tests had been at Wednesday at 8.
Listen, Mom, I got to go take BP and shoot free throws today, okay? No studying. I'll do much better.
Yeah,
I'll do much better.
Promise. I promise I'll do better.
But that was a really neat story. That's part of the twist that just make college athletics so unique.
Sure. Yeah, and love telling stories. Like, so we saw
an immaculate inning.
We saw RK have to leave to go take a test.
Yeah.
And we saw a game where there were no one-run innings.
No, we did not. A 2-3, a 2-3. It's
so
crazy.
Every game has its little personality. And
no
last
doubt.
Night certainly had those.
And the field there at Kennesaw, they've got a very good program, but that facility is just not good. And they won a regional back in 2014 and just put no money into it. I know even from the broadcast, another reason besides enjoying the sun, I was hoping we'd play at 2 or 3. It's just, I know it's tough on the players, both sides, but it's just hard to see there.
It is hard to see, and we know what we're getting into when we go over
right,
there, so
right.
You just kind of mentally focus for it. But it's
tough.
Too bad that they didn't get to try to maybe capitalize a little bit more on that regional win down in Tallahassee, and then I think they went to Louisville in a super regional. I think at the time the football storm was coming for them,
sure.
And you knew where the funds were going to be going for that. It did kind of hit me when we were walking out last night and we were saying goodbye to their SID, and it's like, oh, yeah, we got a bye in football this weekend. I was like, oh, yeah, that's right.
Y'all
are playing
spring
football.
Yeah, there was
spring football.
There was a great – I don't know. We had gotten some tweets in, and we have friends from the Citadel and Mercer. They played a great game last week. Mercer beat the Citadel 35-28. So I'm hoping that we can, you know, maybe Saturday night after our baseball game, there'll be some Southern Conference action in there. By the time I get used to it, it'll probably be over. But
I got to say this. I am all for them getting to play
football. That's fantastic.
I think it's terrific.
I do
it's great.
Too.
I don't really have any interest in it, though.
No, I get it. I mean,
yeah.
I think it'll be neat to see, but it's I think it's great that they're able to get it in.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And it's
now here's the thing though, and you made a good point too about soccer.
Mm-hmm.
Playing football in the spring, playing soccer in the spring, and then turning back around and playing on a short off season. Are we going to potentially see more injuries because of that?
I definitely think so, because soccer divided up the seasons, and in football, and not at all knocking the 1AA level, there will be more injuries in the fall, but there's no way you could have done that at an SEC level and talk about play a full season in the spring and just turn right back around.
Yeah,
I mean, the level of, for lack of a better term, violence in high-end football.
Yeah.
There's a reason there's a long off season.
Yeah, you have to maintain. I mean, you can't just do it all and then take a short rest and then do it all again.
No.
And that's what we're going to see with some of these sports, as you said, hashtag violence. Trajectory.
It was. I happened to run into, I was out walking Albus and Hermie today. One of our neighbors is Athens Academy's coach, Josh Alexander.
Yeah.
I know, you know, he is a great guy, phenomenal coach. And we're just so blessed to have so many great high school coaches in our area. And you know, he had told me, just go into some different college practices, you know, where you've got former players, or obviously some of these schools might be recruiting your kids, you know, for whatever. And just the level that you're going to of physicality, and again, that violence in practice every day, and then just on game day. It is definitely not for the faint of heart. As I always said, that's why I played tennis and watched football. I was no dummy.
That's right.
I love football, but I'm a chicken hawk. I'm one of those guys who said, oh yeah, well, we got to get more physical up front. I would be fully incapable of doing such.
Yeah, I know. It's not easy. And we're seeing what happens when you have something crazy like we had in 2020, just kind of, you know, try to stop the wheel, so to speak, as Coach Perno mentioned, and it's just, you can't do it.
No, you can't. And I think another thing, Kevin Butler predicted this. We did some preseason shows that there would be, I think in some areas, not that this was really going out on a huge limb because of missing spring practice, but he was saying he thought there'd be more problems with injuries, and a lot of it might be more of the pulls, more maybe fatigue situations and fatigue injuries, just because you were completely out of rhythm of that normal preseason conditioning. So you don't get in the spring. And then remember the preseason camp, they gave them what, it was like maybe what, 20 practices or whatever, but it was over 40 days. And it was just a completely different routine from what everybody had done. So your bodies were just in a different place.
Well, we'll see how all this goes, and we'll keep our fingers crossed in the fall, too, especially that we don't see an abnormal amount of injuries, although I'm just worried that there will be, especially what you call the violent sports.
And hopefully at the SEC level that we are back to, you know, getting a spring practice, and you figure that we'll be on a normal run and trajectory there, that at our level we ought to be okay. But I do, certainly for the Southern Conference teams, the other 1AA teams that are playing, that's going to be a factor for them.
So we can also say, now that we are in March, this is the first show that we have taped in March, we can say the Masters is next month.
Yes, we can.
G-Day is next month.
Yep.
And the NFL draft is next month.
And thank goodness the Masters and G-Day, Kirby loves golf. You no longer have to worry about them coinciding. Because that always people say, even for the most diehard of Georgia football, what is the one thing that would take it? Well, the Masters. Yeah. Don't play on the Masters.
Yeah. I'm glad that we do have.
Yeah, that's not a chance with Kirby coaching.
Gets that. And April, too, you got Easter Sunday, and then you got the Masters, and then you got G-Day. So three great weekends in a row there. And then I guess the NFL draft would be,
I guess the last weekend in April.
I
guess the first round's on a Thursday night. So, and you know, that brings us to, it's been great for us to talk about here the off football season. The Falcons are in this spot, aren't they? Okay.
Yeah.
How much longer with Matt Ryan? That's the first question, and you got to answer it honestly. If it's just one more year, you got to take a QB. Can you move him with the salary cap situation? If you think he's your guy, hey, we think we got another 3 years. All right, then you got to go take the best guy. But this is a quarterback-rich draft. How often are you going to get the number four pick in a quarterback-rich draft? This is the type of decision that could really shape them here for the next 4 or 5 years, and potentially beyond, obviously.
And with the new GM and the head coach, they're walking right into this. So now, it's kind of like similar to what Dimitroff and Mike Smith did, because they took Matt Ryan in their first draft, and they got Michael Turner from San Diego as that was a free agent signing,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, sure was.
And that was huge, and they were able to roll with it.
So do you do the same thing now? Do you say it? And again, I don't have.
So I think Matt Ryan has more than a year, but there's all this money stuff to deal with.
And
I mean,
if Zach Wilson or Justin Fields is sitting there, it's hard to say no.
And I don't know about the FCS quarterback. That one's a tougher call for me.
Yeah, is it Trey Lance from North Dakota State?
Yeah.
And then here's the other thing you run into. If you say, oh, we're going to take this quarterback, but we're going to stay with Matt for another couple of years too, then you're going into next season and you had the fourth pick in the draft and you're getting zero production from it.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to fly either. For a first-year head coach, I don't think that would fly.
Yes, I mean, these are tough decisions coming up. And, again, it's a little bit more difficult to try to predict or think because – you don't know what this new staff is looking for or what they're going to do.
The thing I do like the most, though, is it does sound like, at least from what Terry Fontenot, the new GM, has said, that they're of the mindset of the best guy available. And 9 times out of 10, that's the way to go. Now, if it's 51% to 49%, and at the 49% position you're stacked, or 51% position you're stacked, and 49%. Well, we'll just go ahead and take him. But if it's clear, if it's the better guy, you got to take the better guy. Or if there's somebody you like, here's what the Falcons never got in the previous two regimes there. You've got to be able to trade back. Like when they took Keanu Neal, okay, Thomas Dimitrov said, we had him as a first rounder. Well, duh, you took him in the first round. You could have gotten him mid-second. So you go back, you get more picks, you get more value there. That's just what they never seem to grasp.
And maybe this new administration, if you will, they're not having to worry about, oh, let's make this pick or let's do this because we're trying to cover up something we did before.
They've
got a clean slate that they can work with.
That's a great point. So there it's, you know, and to me, I get it. Wide receiver's a spot, presuming Julio's back. You got two receivers for Bama. If they think Devontae Smith's the best guy at four and they're hanging with Ryan at QB, grab him. If you think it's Kyle Pitts, grab him.
Sure.
Get that best guy to help your team because the Falcons, they need so much talent across the board. And that is one, you know, this is a backhanded statement here. One good thing about being bad is that you need help at a lot of spots. When you kind of get in that tween around, you know, we're good here, and there, and then usually.
But what if the best guy available is also at a position that isn't as much of need?
Yeah, and then that's where it tends to get you. It's like, all right, we're good at these three spots. We're not so good at these three spots. The three spots where we're not so good, the players we needed, like, they've already been picked.
Yeah.
And you just, that's where you can get in that pickle. And I think the other thing you hit is the perceived value of positions. You see the teams in the back of the draft, and the perfect example for what I'm about to say is Kansas City Chiefs and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. The really good teams get really good players who fall to later in the first round because they don't play those quote-unquote positions of need. So you'll see playoff teams get a tremendous guard, a tremendous middle linebacker, or in the Chiefs' case, they win the Super Bowl and they get one of the two best running backs coming out of the draft at 32.
Yep.
And he's probably a top 10, top 15 prospect, but his position wasn't the quote-unquote value that year.
Right. That was a very nice pick for them, even though he was hurt for
some of the year,
decent part of the year. But that was still the play, and we've seen New England draft from there for a long, long time.
They've
been able to kind of figure out how to do it.
Yeah, Baltimore too. I remember the year they took C.J. Mosley at Alabama was an inside linebacker, and he was sitting there for the Ravens. You know, Ray Lewis was either 1 year out. It's like, well, he was a top 10 player in the draft, but, well, inside linebacker, not important. All right. Ravens were already good. They just went and then it's like, oh, my gosh, here's this really good team. They just got an instant starter.
Yeah, I know.
And that's how
it happens.
The good teams stay good.
Yes.
And the good teams also have that QB. So, in the end, for the Falcons, that's what they've got to determine. What is their trash? What's their trajectory at quarterback? And do you think Matt Ryan's – would you say – is 3 years a number? Like, if we were running the franchise, would you need to have the honest evaluation, say, hey, I think we can get another 3 years out of Matt Ryan? Is that the number? Because if you really think it's just one, you got to move on.
Yeah, I agree. And that's the big decision they have to make. It feels like there's more than 1 year in him, but he certainly – I don't want to say he's at the 2-minute warning, but maybe he's at around the 5-minute mark.
I agree. And there are so many quarterbacks. Now, Lawrence, we know he's a sure thing and he's going number one, but there's going to be a lot of movement in this draft too because half of the top 10 picks, and this could potentially be Atlanta if they stay with Matt Ryan, are teams that aren't going to be taking quarterbacks. Like Cincinnati sitting there at 5 with Joe Burrow. So are they going to take, like, if I was Cincinnati, I know they need help on the line. I would take Kyle Pitts because I just say, oh, my God, Burrow and Pitts. That'd be really good. But Miami's got two, or they're not going to take a quarterback.
No.
So are these teams going to move back? Yeah, are they going to go, you know, again, is Miami going to go take Penei Sewell at left tackle? You know, would the Bengals look O-line, or do they go for that dynamic playmaker out there like Pitts, like Devontae Smith?
I just feel like if you've taken – a quarterback that high and Cincinnati and Miami's in the same spot, go get that guy that can protect him for the next decade.
I agree. You get the guy who can protect him or the guy who's going to be the other half of the pass catch tandem.
Yeah.
I think that's the smart way to go. And I think some X factors you've got too in New England and Pittsburgh, are they going to make a push to move up and try and grab one of these guys, because Pittsburgh's been a great franchise. Big Ben's probably got one more year, and they're in a division with Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield, and Joe Burrow.
Wow.
So are they looking and saying, like, okay, we never do this, but are we willing to maybe put out a really good package to somebody like, now obviously Cincinnati wouldn't trade with them, but to somebody in that top 10 where they feel like they could land their next quarterback? You know, New England's sitting there now. You know, obviously it didn't work out with Cam, and Josh Allen's really good at Buffalo. Miami's got Tua. Does New England make a move?
What about Jameis Winston? Do you think he could do it in New England?
30 interceptions in a season's a bad red flag. And then the fact that he was gone and they won the Super Bowl. And then if you're the Patriots, can you take him and say, wait a minute, we've essentially traded Tom Brady for Jameis Winston. That didn't look
and
too
Cam
good.
And Cam could end up in New Orleans.
He could. He could. There's a lot of movement.
I know. There's a lot of stuff movement. That could happen.
Yeah.
All right, Jeff, we got North Florida this weekend. You got the Lady Dogs, so you'll be bebopping back and forth.
Can't wait, man.
Lady Dogs in Kentucky tomorrow, and today is Thursday as we tape this. I shouldn't say tomorrow, but the Lady Dogs in Kentucky play Friday, and then the winner advances to the semifinals on Saturday of the SEC tournament. The Georgia baseball team plays at 5 o'clock Friday, 1 o'clock Saturday, and Sunday. So I'll see you when I see you.
We'll see you a lot at the yard,
yeah,
my friend.
Yeah, we know we'll certainly see each other tomorrow or Friday for the baseball game, and then hopefully you'll have to duck out early on Saturday for the Lady Dogs.
Because the semifinal game is at 4.
Yes. So
let's keep winning like we did last weekend.
Just
that was great.
Keep on keeping on. That was a whole lot of fun. And we do appreciate you joining us here. We do have to get on out of here. This has been the Crossover Podcast, episode number, what did we say it was? 177?
I think so.
Episode number 177.
Truck it on,
keep
baby.
Keep on trucking. And again, 960 The Ref, the 960 The Ref app. Of course, you can find us in the App Store for your iPhone and Google Play for your Android. Got the Arnold Palmer Invitational going on. Next week will be the Players Championship.
Great time of
it
year.
It is awesome. It's a beautiful day.
March
might be
is a great
chiller,
month.
A chillier weekend, but it's going to be sunny, so we're certainly excited about that. All right, thanks so much for joining us. We'll catch you on the other side, which means next week, right here on 960 The Ref and the 960 The Ref app.
You've been listening to The Crossover on 960theref.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.